and these five suspects would be visible for 12 hours. And the only information that we had to find was actually five pictures that would be released at 8 a.m. in every respective city. These suspects were actually moving around in the city, which makes actually looking for them much more difficult.
Now, as you told us, the locations were Washington, where the jewel thieves' technical expert was hiding out, New York, where they had their master of disguise, London, that was where the con man extraordinaire was. These are all fictional characters, obviously. Stockholm, the demolitions expert, and Bratislava, Slovakia, the hideout for the ringleader. Did you actually have team members in all five of these cities walking around looking for these guys all day?
We did. We actually had great coverage, for instance, in London. The team was actually divided in three branches. Actually, the headquarters of the team were based in Abu Dhabi, in the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, interesting.
Those are the guys that actually put up the system. So we were pretty much covering not only a lot of geographical coverage, but also 5-6 different time zones, right? Because you have to realize that when it's 7 p.m., the end of the competition for the guys in New York City and D.C., it's actually around 4 a.m. for the guys in Abu Dhabi. So they're really tired. We are receiving a lot of submissions, and we need to filter them, right? So it's not only important to have very good coverage, as you were asking, but also to have people that are actually able to verify what people are submitting.
Now, you've taken on a few of these federal government-sponsored online crowdsourcing challenges. As you said before, your team won the DARPA the DARPA Red Balloon Challenge a few years ago. You also did the Paper Shredder Challenge, DOD-sponsored. I think in all those cases, you kind of relied on an incentive system of some kind to recruit as many people into the crowd as you could. How do you structure that, and in what ways has that proven effective?
That's actually a great question. We actually have used, in this three challenges that you mentioned, we have used exactly the same incentive structure, which is actually a structure that game theorists and economists have designed in the 90s. In particular, in this case, we would give you $500 if you actually take a picture of the suspect, but we also give $100 for the person who recruited that person. And on top of that, for the first 2,000 people who actually just recruit people, regardless of whether the recruits are able to find the information or not, we'll pay you $1. It's kind of the opposite of a pyramid scheme, right? So in the pyramid scheme, the guys at the top make the most money. Mm-hmm. Here, it's actually the guys at the bottom. So what we want you is to both spread the word, to have very, very large networks with great geographical coverage, but also that actually the guys who end up searching for the people, right, make the most money. Somehow, it has the best of both worlds, the best of the viral social media world, but also the best of actually just greed.
Now, we've obviously seen a few different challenges like this sponsored by federal agencies. Why do you think the federal government has an interest in this topic of crowdsourcing and doing it through these challenge frameworks? What are they trying to figure out, and what are you trying to figure out as a scientist?
So from the government, I think there is a very interesting thing going on. So far in the last 5 years, and especially in 2011, we have seen the citizen empowered by social media. Actually, the citizen using social media, especially in the Arab Spring, to actually overthrow governments, right? So social media seems to be a tool that citizens have against governments, right? So things are changing a little bit in the sense that now governments have realized that they can also tap into social media and social network to do things that would be very expensive or almost impossible to actually do without them. So I think actually this tech challenge by the Department of State is a very interesting twist in that history of social media used by people. Now, the government can actually tap into the citizens to find the criminals. This is a completely different thing that we've seen so far. So this is a very interesting episode in history in that sense. That would be from the practical standpoint of the government. From our standpoint, we are network scientists, so what we'd like to study is the structure of social networks, but also the dynamics of how information travels in these networks. What we don't have is actually information about how things spread, especially if things spread very far internationally, like in this case. So for us, this is a great excuse. We actually didn't make any money out of winning either the balloon challenge or this new challenge because we give all the money to the participants. What we do get is data, we demonstrate how information spreads across the world, and then we analyze it, and then we actually build models from this empirical data that we gather.
And back to the government's perspective, I think in this specific case, the State Department wanted to know whether crowdsourcing is a tool that agencies could use for tracking down criminal suspects for law enforcement purposes. In your mind, did that challenge answer that question, or might it once the data is all analyzed?
I think actually it did, because we are actually talking about the worst case scenario for this kind of searches. So we are academic teams. Usually we don't have access to main media or mass media, or we cannot spend any resources in advertising, right? So if we were actually able, with only $5,000, to actually find 3 out of 5 people in only 12 hours, based on only a single photograph, what the governments can do should be much more powerful than this. They have the resources. They can advertise on TV. They can advertise on the radio. So it should be much easier task for them. They should get a very positive feedback from this experiment.
And to some extent, this builds on things that the government has been doing for a long time. I mean, there are shows like America's Most Wanted that are completely devoted to just getting information out about criminal suspects. Local law enforcement authorities routinely put out information about criminal suspects into TV and newspapers. Is this just a sort of a multiplication of that basic philosophy?
It is and it isn't, in the sense that what we have seen so far, and you're right on the fact that actually this has been going on for a while, not only in the U.S., but also all over the world. But somehow the incentives for people to actually find this suspect were actually very plain, right? In the sense that maybe you would get some money if you were actually able to take a photograph or submit some information about this suspect. So far, we haven't seen this kind of incentive networks, right, where you're not only incentivized to actually track people, but just recruiting is enough for you to make money. I think this is a completely new thing. And it comes somehow at the perfect time where actually we're starting to think about social networks. I think actually governments haven't been able to do this before, but I wouldn't be surprised if they start to implement it, not exactly the same structure that we use, but something that splits more the reward in not only the people that actually are close to the suspect, but also people who spread the word.
And before I let you go, this was not completely an online exercise from what I understand. In fact, one of your strategies was to exploit mainstream media outlets like ours to spread information during the challenge. You were on the air with us on Francis Rose's show before the challenge to talk about it. Tell me about that part of the strategy.
So one of the big questions that we have in social media is, we know that social media, so that mass media, is actually more powerful at spreading information than social media. What we need to understand is how much more powerful it is. So is it 10 times? Is it 100 times? So in order to do that, what we decided is to both spread things locally across our social networks, but also to tap into some of the mass media sites. And actually, because we can trace everything that is going on, by actually doing that, we can now quantify how much more important was mass media versus social media. That's something that we're going to be able to look when we analyze the data too. So it was not only a medium to actually get more people and win the competition, but also a way of somehow experimenting in the difference different mediums actually can achieve in terms of social mobilization.